All right, we're back after a little hiatus. The boys from New York doing Degenerates, my boy the horse, and your host, me, Bills, we took a couple weeks off there. We were gone for break. Had a successful Thanksgiving. Too bad we didn't give you those picks, but we're back now. Interesting slate of games. We're getting close to the playoffs. We're in the fantasy playoffs. The horse actually has a bye in our league. We just missed the bye. My squad ended up in the three hole, so we got to play this weekend. We'll see. But I've crunched the numbers, and theoretically, we would square off in the finals if we both got there. So,
kind of interesting. See what happens. I get that first round bye, which is nice. But.
Yes, it's good to have a bye. You only need to win one game to get to the finals. So there's a lot of injuries that have plagued every team. This year it seems like more than most, but I feel like people say that every year, so it's tough. But we're not here to talk about fantasy football, even though there's definitely money to be won via DraftKings, other stuff like that. But we're here to win you money the old-fashioned way through gambling. At this point in the year, there's probably a decent amount of people that are in big holes or are trying their best to not bet at all. But if you are listening to the show, then maybe you're done with your own picks and you want to ride someone else. Maybe you're at the point where you're just going to start picking all. You're just going to start fading yourself. You've done so badly. Maybe a couple of you have been winning, probably the minority. But we have been winning here on the show. So if you're listening, this is your meal ticket out of the gutter. But before we get into picks, we're going to talk about one big story. We're not going to do a bunch of things. We're just going to talk about this LeSean McCoy, Chip Kelly situation. There's clearly bad blood between those guys. We've heard about it offseason this for a long time. It's probably too much of it. I mean, I don't know what your take is, Horse, but LeSean McCoy is – I don't want to say he's made a fool of himself here, but it's like it's pretty cut and dry what's going on. He, like, thinks it's about some big race thing. But he brought in DeMarco Murray and saved – and he develops the defense, brings in a similar caliber running back, and saves $11 million. So I don't understand why LeSean McCoy thinks this is some big racial conspiracy. I know he dealt with Chip on a daily basis, and I obviously didn't. But I find it hard to believe – anyone that's made it to where Chip Kelly is in the sport, heavily dominated by black players, is racist and wants to take his good black players off the field. What's your take on it?
I mean, like, if you think about it at Oregon, basically all of his skill players, all of his primetime players are mostly African-American players. So, like, I don't know why LeSean McCoy is saying that. I feel like he's honestly just trying to stir up controversy because he didn't like the way he was traded. Which was kind of questionable, I guess. He didn't receive any prior information because they had to keep it on the down low for some reason. But now it seems like, honestly, that the trade went terribly both ways. I mean, Kiko Alonso went out for the year, and, I mean, LeSean McCoy, I think, runs way better in the Philadelphia system than DeMarco Murray. So I'm actually this game this Sunday is going to be really interesting to see what happens between these two teams. I'm hoping McCoy can go off, potentially stake it to him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the Bills got a much better deal. I don't know why the Eagles went out and got DeMarco Murray, to be honest, because I think Sproles and Ryan Matthews is a pretty good combination. Obviously, Ryan Matthews has injury problems, but DeMarco Murray doesn't really fit. He's a north-south guy that – Eagle offense likes to get the ball, likes to throw it a lot in the flats, likes to do a lot of tosses. And that's not really his game. The reason he was so effective in Dallas was because he was running behind that big offensive line between the tackles. And it didn't really fit at all with what the Eagles were trying to do, and it shows in his numbers. I mean, he has terrible numbers this year. And LeSean McCoy's had not his best year ever, but LeSean McCoy's had a good year. There's no way around that. But here's the thing, what you were saying is, like, I understand he didn't have any prior notice he was traded, but I feel like, and I could be wrong here, but I think in sports that kind of thing happens a decent amount. I mean, I understand probably not to marquee guys like LeSean McCoy, but it's the nature of the business. And if you're going to jump from, like, he didn't tell me he wanted, like, to he's racist is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's pretty
I think there had to be something else. I think there had to be – I mean, there must have been something that, you know, he just got that vibe from, you know, numerous encounters. But hey, I mean, he has a chance to, you know, kind of get his revenge this weekend against the Eagles. It's going to be an interesting matchup, pretty even one. I mean, my point spread is at even. I don't know what yours is. I think it's they're all pretty close to around even. If anything, I think you might be able to get a Eagles plus one is what I is the highest I'm seeing. But I think that
you've got a lot of even. Yeah.
Here's what my question is to you, and we won't get into this game first because we'll talk about the Thursday night game first. But like, would you say this situation with McCoy has a point, a half point, maybe a point impact on the line, or you don't really buy too much into that kind of thing?
I'm not really buying in too much into it. I mean, obviously, I mean, LeSean McCoy is going to run as hard as he can anyway because he's trying to get money, he's trying to get some yards. And honestly, Chip Kelly's not going to change his entire strategy just because one of his ex-players is on the team. I mean, then NFL has so much turnover in between anyway. It's just like, I mean, LeSean McCoy, the reason is because he was the Eagles' feature running back for a long time, and he led the league in rushing a couple years. So that makes a little more difference. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to really affect the game. But it could be an interesting, like, story point.
Yeah. All right, so that was kind of it. We're going to dive right in to this Sunday night game. It's an interesting one. To be honest, I had a very weird situation with this game because I looked at it and it was 9. The line I had at first was 9. And I was thinking to myself, this is kind of outrageous that the line is so big for a team that's been pretty good. Like the Vikings have been in a very good defense. I know they have injuries on the defense. So then I was thinking to myself, oh, not this is a trap, but like this is like a little weird. I think they're probably trying to get everyone to hammer the Vikings. And then I look at the consensus, and most people are betting on the Cardinals.
On Arizona.
So that I was like, when I saw the spread at 8.5, I was like, well, what, everyone's going to be hammering, you know, every average Joe out there is going to be betting the Vikings. And that wasn't the case because to most people, I think like 56% of people are taking the Cardinals. And now the line is up to 10.5. So the line is moving the way it should move if people are betting Arizona. But I like the Vikings in this one. Now you get it. Now I can get it at 10.5, so I have the hook. That just seems like too big of a spread for me. The Vikings need to win. They're now in the wild card spot. They have to win. The Cardinals, it's a short week for both teams. The Vikings got throttled by the Seahawks last week. Cardinals looked good. The Vikings have to win this game, and they are a good team. I think there's no way on a short week Thursday night game you can go with the Cardinals having to win this game by more than 10 points. I like the Vikings.
Yeah, I love the Vikings too. When I first saw this, I actually just looked at it today. I mean, 10.5 is a huge spread, especially with that half point, because they lose by 10. I mean, they're still covering, which is absurd. I mean, they're what are they, 8-2 or something like that?
Who?
Or no? Well, no.
Arizona's 10-2, and the Vikings are 8-4.
I think honestly, I'm kind of confused by what Vegas is doing here because now finally the consensus bet is around 50-50. Minnesota's actually favored 51% on that line now. So I'm actually in the midst of getting on it right now because I'm worried that it might get back down to 10.
You know what?
I'm
doing the exact same thing. I just locked in Vikings. Totally agree with you. I think this line ends up at 10. The people who get it at 10.5 are going to be pretty lucky. If you're listening live, get it now. I mean, there's different spreads on different sites, but I think you're right. You got to hop in on it. When you got it, you can't give up the hook. You need that half point. It's huge.
That is a huge half point, especially because it's like, I mean, 7.5, a lot of stuff can happen, like with field goals and things like that, but 10 is a common number to win by. So,
Totally agree with you. It's just such a weird line because, to be honest, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, at first, I assumed everyone would be hammering the Vikings. The Vikings have been good this year. People have liked the Vikings. And then out of nowhere, they're just outrageously large underdogs to a very good Cardinals team who can score off turnovers and run it up pretty quick. I'm not, you know, naive about that. But this is what I looked into, because the Vikings are a team that basically lives and dies with their run game. It's like Bridgewater's fine. He's not great. He's fine. And he's not good unless Peterson's running the ball effectively. So I kind of tried to look into teams that have an effective run game. The Broncos, they lost to the Broncos. The Chiefs, when Charles was still playing, they beat them by 6 at home. The Bears with Forte, they beat them by 3. The Rams with Gurley, they beat them in overtime. The Falcons with Devonta Freeman, they didn't look good in that game. And then the Seahawks, who can run the ball, they got throttled. So, you know, it's not – or sorry, I'm looking at the wrong schedule here. But, yeah, they lost to the Rams and Gurley with that good run game. So it's, if the Cardinals – to me, the point I'm trying to get to is it wouldn't shock me if the Vikings won this game. And you don't usually see a lot of you don't really see a lot of – yeah, okay. So they lost to Denver by 3. Okay. You don't see a lot of teams that are getting – that are 10.5-point dogs that you think have a legitimate chance to win a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. I mean, they're plus 420, which is at their money line for Minnesota, which is all right. I don't know if I'm going to take a look at it, but just a chance to win a game and having a 10.5-point spread is absurd. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they're tied for the lead in their division. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's been solid with the ball, and, I mean, AP does AP.
Yeah. So I'm with you. And it's the spread makes no sense to me, especially because it's a Thursday night game where things tend to go haywire a little bit. You know what I mean? And you see teams, you know, come out slow, look sloppy to start games. And I understand what Vegas is thinking. Sloppy things and turnovers play to the Cardinals' advantage because they force turnovers and they score off turnovers. So from that aspect, I understand. But if the Vikings get AP going early and often, they can win this game. So with 10.5 points, I really do like the Vikings a lot. So we're on the same page there. Next game, Falcons going to the Panthers. I have the Panthers favored by 8.5, also seeing 9, somewhere in between a touchdown and 10 points. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm at 9 right now. I think it opened around 7.5. I mean, it's moving up towards 9.5 with 60% on Carolina. I mean, Atlanta, I've been on their bandwagon from the beginning of the year, and they were doing great for me, and then they took a turn, and I switched off them. But I think I'm going to go with Atlanta here if I can get it at plus 10. I know Carolina's been dominant. I mean, they're undefeated. They play unbelievable at home. But I think this line, they're trying to get people to bet on Carolina at a premium. I don't think that they are worth 10 points over. So I'm going to take the Falcons here.
Okay. The Panthers have had an absolutely outrageous year. Obviously being 12-0 is, you know, impressive on its own right. But even more impressive to me as a gambler is the fact that they're 9-3 against the spread. I thought they were going to lose in the Superdome last week. I really did. I tweeted it. It was like my upset prediction of the week. They almost did. Saints covered the spread pretty easily, obviously, since they almost won the game. So I've been pretty good on the Panthers because I've ridden them, and then I've gotten off in dicey situations. I think last week was the dicey situation for them. I think this week they come out, I think they throttle the Falcons. I think the Falcons might be the worst team in the NFL right now. No sarcasm at all. I think if they went to Cleveland, they'd struggle. They've been struggling, and they haven't covered the spread in five games, and they're one for their last six against the Panthers dating back. You know, they're in the same division, so they obviously play a lot. But the Falcons team, you look what they've done recently. They get throttled by the Saints. They grind out a 10-7 win against the Titans. They lose to the Bucs. They lose to the Bucs at home. They lose to the 49ers. They lose to a Colts team without Luck. They lose to the Vikings. They lose to the Bucs. So in those games, they didn't cover a single spread. They haven't covered a spread in 7 weeks. They haven't covered a spread in 8 weeks because they didn't cover against the Redskins either. So the last time they covered a spread was in week four. And that's not really a team I want to sign up for. They look really bad. Freeman has a terrible matchup, and Matt Ryan looks really bad. And this is a divisional game. These two teams, the Panthers have something to play for here, and they came off of a dicey situation last week, and they're not going to want to get punched in the mouth and go down early again. I think they come out hot. I don't think this Falcons team has any chance of winning the game. And I think the Panthers throttle them. I'll take it. I am with you, though. 10 gets a little dicier for me, so I'll probably hop on. If I see it go to 9.5, I'll jump it just in case. But for now, I'm going to hold off. But that line is doing what it should be doing also, where people have bet the Panthers and it's gone up. Same thing as the Cardinals. What we've been on top of this year is you got to look for the lines that are supposed to move up and stay where they are or go down, and that's when you know you have a good pick. All right, next game, we got the Redskins going to Chicago to play the Bears. The Bears had a tough loss last week to the 49ers. Robbie Gould, Hall of Fame kicker, missed some chip shots, which is really disappointing for the Bears because they could have been 6-6 and very much alive in the playoff race. Instead, it goes the other way. They lose. Season over, basically, more or less. Skins still have something to play for. I'm seeing Bears -3.5. It's 3.5, and that's very important to pay attention to that line because 3 is obviously much more ideal than 3.5. I like the Bears in this one. I think the Bears are, to be honest, I think the Bears are not a bad football team, and the Redskins are atrocious on the road. They have not won a game on the road this year. I was just making sure that was true. They haven't won a game yet on the road this year. Kirk Cousins, they're coming off a really demoralizing loss to the Cowboys on Monday night. I don't think the Bears ever really expected to do much this year, so I don't think being out of playoff contention is really going to affect how hard they play this game. And when push comes to shove, it's just the Redskins are atrocious on the road. There's no way around it. I mean, they got throttled at Carolina. They got throttled at New England. They got throttled by the Jets. And the Giants kind of throttled them in week three. So I don't see any change here. I don't have any reason to believe the Redskins, you know, turn the ship around on the road this week in an environment that's not the toughest right now, but it's still going to Chicago. It's still going to Soldier Field. I like them.
I was kind of tough on this one, 50-50 on the betting public. I kind of like the Bears, but I'm not in love with it, especially at the -3, -125 I have currently. I don't like that juice on it personally. I was looking at the over-under, and currently the under is 94% consensus. It's still at 43.5.
Hold on, that can't be right. 94%? All right, keep talking. Keep talking.
So 93%. Okay. 93% of the betting public is apparently betting on the under 43.5 in that game. I mean, I could see the Bears putting up points in this game with Washington sloppy D trying to put up points at home. And I think Washington will maybe turn it over a few times, leading to some points, and maybe the same with Chicago. And I kind of like the over here. Are you seeing that on Oddshark?
No, Vegas Insider has it at 69-31. So, 60. Yeah. Odd Shark sometimes has its cup.
Kind of fucks up.
Yeah. I think it's. Are you hearing?
70. Okay. 70%. Yeah. 70%. I mean, I like the over, but I might go with Chicago, or I might even just skip this game. Honestly, I'm not that interested in it.
That was our Cheerios ad. Did you hear that?
What? No, I didn't hear.
Did you hear that? No, you didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Odd Shark sometimes has it screwed up. Vegas Insider is pretty good. This has it at 31-69, leaning towards the over.
Yeah.
I mean, leading towards the under. Leading towards the under.
The under, yeah. The under, yeah.
That's still pretty big. So you like the over here?
I like the over here, just because of poor defense, potentially some turnovers, and Chicago is going to want to put up points at home. They're 1-5 at home, so see if they can do something for their home fans who actually go crazy at games. I mean, Chicago's a big sports town, so.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Actually, I mean. Because Kirk Cousins can score points. That game against the Giants was pretty boring until the last about 5 minutes. You were probably pretty stoked about it, though, as a Giants fan.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
And we don't need to talk about how my Jets absolutely ripped your hearts out at MetLife. No need to go into that.
Yeah, we can ignore that.
Jets are 7-5 now. Got the Titans this week. Probably going to go to 8-5. No big deal. All right, next game. This is a very good game. Probably my favorite game. I'm very interested in this game. Steelers going to Cincinnati. This is one of my best bets. I think this is probably my best bet. Cincinnati, love them. They're 6-1 in their last 7 against the spread. They're only favored by 2.5, so you can get it under a field goal, which is huge. And they're playing against a Steelers team who's 2-4 in their last 6 against the spread. The Steelers are playing well last night. The Steelers played well last week, but let's not get too carried away with the Steelers. There's a mantra, or not a mantra necessarily, but a thought process, if you will, that the Steelers are just going to be very good. And they've been solid, but let's not get carried away here. They throttled the Colts without Luck. The Colts aren't that good. You know, the Colts aren't that good. They lost.
Yeah.
They lost at home to Cincinnati with Ben Roethlisberger healthy. So let's not jump to conclusions here. The Cincinnati Bengals are 12-2. They're a very, very good football team. And somehow in this situation, Bengals favored by less. Here's the deal. You know as well as I do. Home field in football equates to 3 points on the spread. That means that Vegas has Pittsburgh on a neutral site better than the Bengals, which is crazy. Absolute lunacy. And on top of that, most people are betting on the Steelers. So
yeah, that's what I don't understand. It's, what is it, 66% on Pittsburgh? It opened at -3.5, too, and it's going down to -2.5, which is crazy. I love it at 2.5, too, which is I think the Bengals are a top 4 team in the league, potentially. Maybe even top 3.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And the spread here, this is what I would have been concerned if the spread didn't come down. Or, I mean, not if it didn't come down, if it had gone. You know what I'm saying. The spread's doing what it's supposed to do.
But I'm still shocked. How is 66% betting on Pittsburgh in this situation? It's pretty shocking.
I think it's just because people don't believe in Cincinnati. And a lot of people love the Steelers and Big Ben, and it's not crazy. I mean, I took the Steelers against the Colts, but they were playing the Colts. The Colts are terrible. They have an atrocious defense, and we're working with Matt Hasselbeck, who's down to come down to earth. And people got a little too hung up on that situation with Hasselbeck being undefeated. I mean, the Colts are in the worst division in football. The teams Hasselbeck beat were the Jaguars, the Texans, when they were playing really bad. The Texans do look good now. But then he also beat the Falcons, who are terrible, the Bucks at home. That's not a great resume. So then they go into Pittsburgh and get throttled. Hasselbeck throws for 169 yards. It's a total disaster. That game shouldn't tell you that much about Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is a solid football team. I think if they get hot at the right time, they might be able to make some noise in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, they're a wild card team at best, and the Bengals are fighting for the number one overall seed in the AFC. So, and the Bengals have something to play for. I know the narrative might be Steelers have to win, and the Bengals don't have to win, but they want to win because that first round bye is huge. Because Andy Dalton, for what is it now, 100 years in a row, has lost in the wild card game. So they want that bye, and they want to be at home. So they want to win these games too. I love Cincinnati. It sounds to me like you also love Cincinnati.
Yeah, I love Cincinnati. Also, I like it because in the beginning of the season, Cincinnati lost to barn burner at Pittsburgh. I think we were both on Cincinnati that day, and we lost. We were looking good.
No, Cincinnati. Cincinnati won that game.
They won that game? Oh.
We were both on Pittsburgh
at home, and Cincinnati came and covered it, and I think that playing at home in front of their fans is going to be obviously even more beneficial, and they're playing way better than they were at the beginning of the season too. That's really when their season started to turn around for them and start really looking good.
Here's what's happened to the Cincinnati Bengals. They played that primetime game against the Texans when, if you followed my Twitter, I predicted the Texans would win that game as 11-point underdogs. Lost that game 10-6. Disgusting game. They looked terrible. Then they went to Arizona and lost on primetime again to the Cardinals in a close one. But then – and those were two tough games that against a team. That Houston team has looked very good in the past few weeks. And the Cardinals, we know what the Cardinals have done. Since then, all they've done is beat the Rams 31-7, and then they beat the Browns 37-3. That's a combined 68-10 in their last two games. They are back to playing good football, and they are trying to make a statement in this division, and they are trying to win this division right now so they don't have to worry about anything other than a bye moving forward. We love the Bengals. Don't understand why people are taking the Steelers. Hammer the Bengals. You heard it from me and the horse. That's a bet. That's a degenerate's best bet this week. San Francisco 49ers are going to Cleveland. The Browns are favored by anywhere from 1 to 2. I have it at 2. Who do you like in this one, the horse?
I actually don't really like either team in this situation.
This isn't a bad game to not like anyone either.
I was looking at the under. I mean, 73% is betting on the over in this game. And these two teams are – I mean, San Francisco might have the worst offense in the league. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is looking a lot better than Colin Kaepernick. But, I mean, it still is the 49ers who have struggled to put up more than 10 points in a game for the entire season and somehow managed to find themselves at 4-8. But 1-5 on the road. The Browns are 1-5 at home. I think this game is extremely sloppy, and I think that it's going to hit the under. I think that both teams won't be able to hit the 20-point mark.
Okay. I like the Browns in this game, and I'll tell you why. And this was almost a topic. The horse had the idea, and I think he was definitely right, that people probably don't really give a shit about our takes on random stuff that happened in the NFL, but they – do care about our picks. So this would have been a topic. Manziel's been named the starter for the rest of the year. And I think if you believe Cleveland wants Manziel to prove himself and be the long-term guy in a Browns uniform, I think you're absolutely crazy. I think the Cleveland Browns want him to play well enough to trade him, potentially to a team like the Cowboys, who are going to need a backup. We know Jerry Jones loves Johnny Manziel. The Browns are hoping he plays well. And guess what? Johnny Manziel wants to play well, too, because he wants to get out of Cleveland. There's no way around that. He wants out of Cleveland. He would love to get traded to the Cowboys. The Browns are done with his antics. So this is normally a situation where a player wouldn't have anything to play for starting the last four games for a team that might end up with the number one overall pick. But in this specific case with Manziel, he needs to win, and he needs to play well so he can get out of Cleveland. And I think he will, because I actually think Johnny Manziel's – I actually think he's not bad. From what I've seen of him, he's been all right. He's done a good job managing games. I mean, just that Thursday night game when they played Cleveland, that wasn't the worst – that wasn't the worst game I've ever seen a quarterback play. It was – Cincinnati was up 14-10 at the half, and then things kind of got out of control. But Manziel didn't play a terrible game. Yeah, I mean, in that game, he didn't really ever.
Johnny's going to come out and try and definitely prove himself. I mean, just like anybody wants to do, but especially because he's fighting for a job, especially after all this shit he's been through all year.
Yeah, I mean, in that game, Manziel had a 71.8 QBR. That's not bad at all. So for that reason, I like the Browns. I think they win this game. The Niners were in Chicago. You know I love this. You know I love these little guys. Niners went to Chicago, flew back to the West Coast, and now are flying back to Cleveland. I don't think that bodes well for them. I like the Browns.
Okay.
All right. Next game, Indy Jacksonville. Okay. Indy Jacksonville. Not going to touch this one. There's not even a spread in a lot of places. I think they're still thinking luck might play. So we don't really know what's going on there. I'll end up betting it. I guess I'll tweet it out when I make a decision. But there's no spread, so there's no real way to make a prediction on it. Next game, San Diego, 11.5-point underdogs going to Kansas City, headed into Arrowhead. We know it's a really, really tough place to play. You can get it at anywhere as low as 10, but it's not going to stay at 10. So if you have it at 10 and like the Chargers, take it now. I don't like the Chargers. I love the Chiefs. Chiefs are 5-0 in their last five against the spread. They're 4-1 in their last five against San Diego. They might be the hottest team in the NFL right now. And normally with the Chiefs, what you're saying is, like, I don't think they can score enough points to cover this number. I don't know if the Chargers are going to really even be able to score in this game. The Chiefs are in the playoffs as of now. Or they're tied with the Jets for the last playoff spot. They've reeled off six straight wins, some of which are against decent teams. You know, the Steelers, the Bills aren't bad. They throttled the Raiders on the road. They killed Denver on the road. So this team's playing really well. And here's the most important thing about those wins. Pittsburgh beat them by 10. Lions beat them by 35 points. Go on the road to Denver, win by 16. Go on the road to San Diego, win by 30. Go on the road to Oakland, win by 14. All those are enough of a spread, are bad enough wins to cover this spread. So I don't see any reason to think that they won't do it again this week. And I would normally say, you know, this whole Jamal Charles thing hasn't seemed to have affected them at all. When Charles played, they were 1-4. And since he's left, they lost the first game he was out in a pretty good game against Minnesota, and then they won six in a row. So I'm not saying that has anything to do with Jamal Charles, but the Chiefs are the hottest team in the league, and I like to ride hot teams, so I'm going to take the Chiefs. I've taken them a few weeks in a row, and they haven't given me any reason to back off of them. So I'm going to take them again this week against San Diego.
Yeah, when it first opened, I looked at it. It was more at like 8.5. I like Kansas City. For me now, I have it at 11, I'm pretty sure. Honestly, it's just too big of a spread for me to take. It's actually at 10. It went back down a little bit. But I think I'm going to hold off on this one. I think Kansas City is a safe bet, but honestly, 10 points is a lot to cover, like you were talking about. I am worried that they're not going to be able to score enough points. I mean, Macklin's playing a little bit better. Kelce is obviously one of the better tight ends this year. But, I mean, not too long ago, they hadn't thrown a touchdown pass to one of their wide receivers in 20 straight games. So
that's Horace's favorite stat.
That is a good stat.
I think you've reeled off that stat like since we did the first show. You do know they've been catching touchdowns recently.
I know. Yeah. No, they have. I was just saying that from that's one of my classic Horse lines. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Macklin has 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, but not too long. You know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I think I'm going to hold off on this one. I might ride with you late on Kansas City just because I like riding with Bill sometimes.
Okay. Sounds good. Next game, Tennessee Titans headed to MetLife to face the big bad bullies, the New York Jets, number one run defense in the league. Revis is coming back. 7.5-point spread. I like the Titans in this one. I've been pretty good on the Jets this year, and this is too big of a number. The Titans have been playing better football. Mariota's looked good. Their whole offense is more or less through the air, and the Jets, the strength of their defense is against the running game. So for that reason, I'm gonna go with the Titans. I just think this line's a little too big. That's really all there is to it. I mean, I know it's against the Jags, but the Titans scored 42 points last week. I mean, they kept it close against the Raiders, who kind of throttled the Jets. I could see the Jets pulling this one out. And I don't think we're gonna lose, but it seems like too big of a number. I mean, a Titans upset, this wouldn't shock me because it's just basically been kind of the Jets' MO all year is to look good 2 weeks and then the third look like shit. So, I mean, it's you think we look good, we win week one convincingly, beat the Colts on Monday Night Football against Andrew Luck, and then we lose to the Eagles at home. And then we look good a couple weeks in a row, we throttle Washington, we have a chance to beat the Patriots and Foxborough, get throttled by the Raiders. And then so past couple of weeks, we beat the Giants in overtime. We throttled the Dolphins. I think it's time for that step back again. But this is a big game for the Jets because we are 7-5. We beat the Titans like we should. We go to 8-5. And then we got Dallas. So should win both those games. Could be 9-5 when New England comes to town. You know, this Jets team has an opportunity right in front of them. And I know I tailed off on the gambling aspect to talk about my Jets, but it kind of related. So I like the Titans in this one. 7.5 just seems like too much for a Jets team that hasn't proven they can win a lot of games consistently, you know, in a row, week in, week out. They're just not one of those teams yet. I do think we can be good, but we haven't proven it yet. So I'm going to go with the Titans plus the 7.5.
I like the Titans here too at 7.5. It's at 7 for me on my site, so I'm going to wait a little bit. But I mean, the Jets, I mean, you said it perfectly. Like, they always play well a couple games and then they give it up. We went to the Miami Dolphins game where they throttled them. They absolutely destroyed them in the second half. I mean, the Jets looked great, but I mean, and they did beat my Giants at home. I mean, at home, but I mean, that's technically their home stadium also. But, I mean, the Jets just – I can't believe that the Jets are going to go and win 3 in a row. It's against my best judgment, especially at a 7.5 spread. I could see them winning by a field goal or a touchdown at home. But the Titans are good. Mariota's been proving that he is a great pick. So is Jameis, actually. Both quarterbacks have been doing great. So I'm going to take the Titans here at plus 7.5.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say the Titans are good, but
they're not good. But I mean,
I think we're on the same page. Anything over a touchdown is too much.
Yeah, they tend to keep games decently close. I mean, they've lost 9 games, but I mean Mariota can put up points.
Mariota's shown he can put up points, and the Jets' pass D has given up some big games, like we saw against the Raiders to young quarterbacks. So we're on the same page there. Next game, Buffalo, Philly, the game we talked about earlier. Originally, I thought I liked Buffalo. I since switched. I like the Eagles in this one. Most people are taking the Bills. I like to not do what most people do. I think the Eagles – here's the deal with the Eagles. The reason I originally thought I liked the Bills, and I will not argue with anyone who has this opinion because I still believe it to be true, every time you think they might be good, they play like shit. So they beat the Patriots on the road. Next week they get killed by the Bills at home. Would make sense to me. If you told me that story, if you gave me that headline, I would say, yeah, that makes sense. But I actually think that generally Chip Kelly's teams, as much as criticism as he catches, he has gone 10-6 two years in a row. Obviously, they're not going to hit that mark this year. But I think that if they found something, the way he likes to run his offense, I think it relies a lot on chemistry and figuring things out. And at the end of the day, they have a really good special teams unit. Bill Belichick talked about it. You can win games like that. Especially at home. I think Bradford looked really good against the Patriots, maybe the best he's played all year. So if he's healthy and playing well, they're getting Ryan Matthews back, who was probably their best running back of the three before he went down. I like the Eagles in this one. The Bills, the key to gambling for me is you got to figure out the trends before they happen, more or less. So, like, if you could have figured out that the Chiefs were not bad and were going to get hot before they did, you could have won 4 games in a row betting the Chiefs. That's what we did. I think the Bills might be in the same situation kind of the other way, if you will, because although they have looked somewhat good the past few weeks, obviously they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Jets, they play a close one with the Patriots, close one with the Chiefs, and then beat the Texans. But I don't think the Bills are good, and I think the Bills stumble down the finish line. Now, that's an aggressive call because they have looked good. They've looked better than the Eagles have looked, which is why this spread is a little weird, and that's why most people are taking the Bills, which is why I am taking the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it's at a pick'em for me right now. I like Philadelphia also for all the reasons you stated. One of the reasons my betting winnings have been increasing is taking some tips from the Bills. You always go against what the consensus is. Vegas is usually right. They try and bone everybody. Everybody knows this, but people forget it sometimes. And I think Philadelphia is going to win at home. They're only 2-3 at home. And Philadelphia is a very tough place to play in if you're losing. I think that this is a big game more for their morale. I mean, the NFC East is still wide open. Nothing's over yet. I think that Philadelphia can get this W at home. I mean, they beat the Pats with a depleted squad, but they beat the Pats at home. So, I mean, Philadelphia can definitely beat the Bills at home.
Yeah, and Pats fans can talk about how injured they are, but they also like to do the next man up, do your job narrative also. So it's like, look, you can't have it like, oh, it doesn't matter if we lose a guy, we plug someone in next man up, and then lose to a team like the Eagles at home and be like, yeah, well, we're injured. It's like you're either next man up or you're like every other team in the league where if you have injuries, you struggle. And if any dickhead Pats fan thinks they're above injuries because they can plug in guys, they're wrong. The Patriots are just like everyone else. You get hurt. Yeah, there's a next guy that comes in, but it's not like he's going to be able to do what Rob Gronkowski could do. You know, you can't replace Edelman. So I'm glad that the Patriots fans now have changed their tune from like plug and chug to, yeah, we need to get healthy because when we're not at our fullest, we lose to other teams in the NFL. The teams in the NFL are too good to lose to any team with as many injuries as the Patriots. So I'm glad the Patriots fans got to learn that firsthand last week. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Another thing is the Pats, what I love, I fucking hate Pats fans just in general. I have a bunch of Pats buddies who always shit on, try and shit on everyone because they always do well in the regular season. They were talking about, a lot of them were talking about an undefeated season potentially. And then if you were watching the Barstool videos and things like that, you could see their reactions to, I mean, I'm glad that Gronk isn't hurt or anything, but just seeing their reactions to finally having some trouble on the home front for them was definitely a good thing for a Giants fan. And
yeah, it's gratifying. And people who think Tom Brady's going to win the MVP can go ahead and kiss that one goodbye. Cam Newton is going to win the MVP. He's minus 500 on Top Bet right now. And I got into a fight with a guy who's a Patriots fan because he was like, look at the numbers, look at the numbers. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've looked at the numbers. And then I said, so who's better, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? And he's like, all time. And he was like, Tom Brady. And I was like, why? And then he's like, because he won more Super Bowls and all that. And I was like, okay. So why is that? Why does Tom Brady's numbers against Cam Newton mean he's better if Cam goes 16-0? And the Patriots go 13-3. And he had no answer because it's true. The Panthers go undefeated or even 15-1. Cam Newton is the MVP.
Yeah, easily. I mean, Cam is by far.
And then he said this. He goes, well, if the Patriots go 14-2 and the Panthers go 15-1, Brady will win in a landslide. And I said, you think if all the Panthers had to do was lose one game and Brady's the MVP, you think that Cam would be minus 500? Minus 500 is obscene. It's like that's like basically Vegas is saying they think there's no chance at all the Panthers lose again, which is not true because they still only have like a 20% chance to win out. So these Tom Brady fanboys and these Patriot fanboys need to come back down to earth, and I'm glad the Philadelphia Eagles helped them do it last week.
Yeah.
And we both have our beef. We both have our beef with the Patriots because we're in their division, and you've had the Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing is if Carp ever listens, I traded Danny Woodhead for Cam Newton about 6 or 7 weeks ago. Talk about your all-time trade rate. But you want to move on to the next game?
Yeah. Well, Cam Newton also came from our team. In a trade,
yeah.
We traded Cam Newton, for Brady. Brady's still been the best quarterback in the league, and you know we're third in the in the league. And just so listeners don't get too screwed up on that trade, the man he's talking about doing the trade with, this was in about week 5, and he had Aaron Rodgers, so he was really just looking to get rid of Cam, so he could get a running back. I don't know why he did it for someone like Woodhead. He could have gotten a lot more for Cam, but he did have Aaron Rodgers, who obviously at the time you would have much rather had than Cam Newton. Hasn't played out that way, but let's not go ahead. Let's not make the guy out to be too big of a buffoon.
That's true.
We're running a little low on time, so we're going to kind of go do a speed round through these next few games. Lions going to St. Louis. Lions had their season shattered, their hopes and dreams shattered last week on that Hail Mary. I love the Rams. Who do you like?
Yeah, I love the Rams here too. Gurley's been struggling recently. Somehow I'm getting that 90% is betting on Detroit. I don't know if you're seeing that also. And I mean, that makes me love St. Louis even more. I was on them even before I saw that number. But I mean, St. Louis is good. I think that they're going to run the ball well. I mean, they've lost the last 5. I think it's time for them to turn it around.
It's on odd charts at 67-33. Generally, if you see anything over 70%, it's wrong because that's just it doesn't get skewed that much. But everyone is taking the Lions, and I don't agree with those people because you got to factor in what happened with that Hail Mary. The Lions are not a team that has gotten it done a lot of times. And that kind of loss hits hard for them. So we're on the same page there. Next game, New Orleans Saints going to Tampa Bay. Who do you like in this one?
New Orleans Saints going to Tampa Bay. I like Tampa Bay at home here. New Orleans is 1-5 on the road. I think that Drew Brees is an unreal quarterback at home. Loves playing in that dome. It's at 4, which I don't love. It was open at 2.5 for Tampa Bay, but I think it's going to keep. It's going to stay around 4 right now, but I think I'm going to go with Tampa Bay here.
Yeah, I like Tampa Bay also. They're 6-2 in their last 8 against the spread. Saints aren't great on the road. The Bucs are still playing for a playoff spot. Saints don't really have anything to play for. Had a tough loss against the Panthers last week. I think the I think the Bucs are a decent football team, and I don't think that the Saints are. So, especially on the road. In the Superdome, there's never been a team like this, I don't think, ever. Even when they're bad, they give teams problems in the Superdome. We saw it last week. But they're not in the Superdome, so I like the Bucs. Next game, Seattle going to Baltimore, 10 points. I love Seattle. They're throttling people right now. Baltimore, we're talking about a team that doesn't have a quarterback. They're looking at Matt Schaub. I bet he gets hurt in this one. They didn't even know if he was going to be able to play. Maybe Clawson's in. I don't think it matters, to be honest. The Seahawks defense is going to eat either of those guys alive, and they're going to win this game by 100 points. We saw it. Like, if you can do – the questions about Seattle have been answered. They're back. Their defense is back. Russell Wilson's playing really well. They got away from their, run the ball system that was not really working all that well. Thomas Rawls has obviously had good games, and they will run the ball still, but their O-line switching up was the problem in the trades and the guys they lost, and now they're letting Russell Wilson throw it a lot more, and their defense is playing back at that high level. I don't think there's a point spread I would take the Ravens at in this one, because they're with their quarterback situation and no Justin Forsett, they just have no way to score any points. So it's like, basically to me, it's like, do I think at most they maybe could score 10, maybe, probably, I would guess they wouldn't score 10. I love the Seahawks.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks too. I don't like that a lot of people are on the Seahawks. I mean, people like to bet on the Seahawks. But, I mean, from what I'm seeing, I see on Oddshark, 97% is betting on the Seahawks. And then
That's because that just
Vegas
came
Insider,
out.
Yeah, Vegas Insider's coming out at 82%. But, I mean, the line opened at 3.5. And now
the line, the reason it's still fucked up is because the line just opened.
It reopened or something like that?
No, it just opened because they didn't know what the Baltimore quarterback situation was. So, like, there hasn't been – that's, like, a small sample size. So, like, on Sunday it'll be down closer. I think it'll still be big. I think it'll probably still be, like, 70% Seahawks, but –
yeah, and I'm expecting them to move that spread even higher. I mean, Baltimore – I mean, they had that one blocked field goal, crazy finish. But, I mean, they lost their last game. Seattle's going to try and come out and prove that they're still a dominant team. They struggled for a little bit there in the middle of the season, but I think they're going to come back, just like you said. I hope that they win by 20 here and make it really easy on Sunday.
Yep. All right, Oakland going to Denver. Love Oakland in this game. Oakland's fighting for their playoff lives. Denver has looked better with Osweiler, but, like, let's be honest, it's still Osweiler. I think this is a close game. Love Denver. I mean, love Oakland. Love Oakland.
Yeah, I'm all over Oakland, too. I mean, they're a good team, very underrated at the beginning of the season, playing very well this year. Denver, I mean, they beat the Pats, which was crazy, crazy game that we had that we bet on. Unreal game. And they've won their last 3 with Osweiler. But I think that 7.5 is way too much for them. I'm even seeing 8 some places. I don't know what you're getting.
I'm seeing, if I was going to pull the trigger on it right now, it would be 7, actually.
7 even, though, right?
Yeah, 7 even.
Yeah, but I would wait for that.
Interesting line. That could do anything. To be honest, I wouldn't hate, even if it ended up at 6.5, I'd obviously rather have it at 7. And I might pull the trigger on it right now. But just because if it goes down to 6.5, I think that means Vegas is a little worried about it, which would be
good. Yeah, I actually just hopped on that even bet. So hopefully that doesn't fuck up your odds. But, yeah, I'm on Oakland too.
I don't think you're moving lines, Shay. It's like Vegas is like, oh shit, you see the horse took Oakland, we better move this thing down now.
Well, on our website, I think on the website that we use, because we're using the same website, I think that it does kind of affect it, right?
I don't know, maybe. You want me to check? It's kind of funny if it did. I'll just make I'll just get down now and see if it lets me. Yeah, you didn't move the line. I just got in at even. All right. Next game, Dallas at Green Bay. Green Bay by 7.5, I believe. Who do you like?
I've got Green Bay here. I mean, they just hit that Hail Mary, which was a crazy couple weeks ago. Last week, which was crazy. I was on Green Bay, one of the best betting experiences of my life. That's what you do it for. And honestly, I think coming home, I think that Romo's in for that game, right? Or is he – what happened to Romo?
No, Romo's done for the year.
Yeah, he went out, right? So, I mean, like, Romo's out. And I think the Dallas Cowboys, like, I kept trying to say they have such a good offensive line all season that they're going to be able to run it even without Romo. But in reality, like, a lot of their offense does come from throwing the ball up to Dez and being able to get it down the field, stretching that and opening up the box. So I think Green Bay is going to be able to shut them down. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, your boy Clay Matthews playing inside linebacker for the first time this year. I think Green Bay is going to cover. I'm hoping that it gets back down to 6.5. It's currently at 7.
Yep. I'm on the Cowboys in this one, and I really like it a lot. Something I don't think people are accepting is the Packers are not good. I was on the Lions last week. They should have covered easily. They should have won the game easily. If it wasn't for a questionable face mask call, they would have won the game. They mismanaged the situation. It's fine. I mean, I was pretty upset about it when it happened because I had lines, money line. But at the end of the day, what people aren't understanding is the Packers are not good. They should have lost to the Lions, who aren't good. They did lose at home to the Bears, who are not good. So now you got a 7.5-point favorite against Dallas. It's just too much. Matt Castle looked pretty good on the road last week against the Redskins. It's just too many points. The Packers aren't a good football team right now. We only got 2 minutes left, so that's all I'm going to say about it. But I'm on the Cowboys.
Last game.
Patriots
Giants,
going to
Miami.
Houston. No, Patriots at Houston. Houston +3. One of the best defenses in the league. One of the hottest defenses in the league. Patriots are still banged up. We don't know if Gronk's going to play. I like Houston in this one. I think they might win the game. Patriots, without their weapons, going up against this good of a defense, give me Houston +3.
Yeah, well, I was on that. I was thinking that, too. I don't know if you saw that J.J. Watt might be out. He broke his hand in practice today.
Yeah, I did see that he broke his hand. He's going to play, though. They already said. They said
he's going to play.
He broke his – yeah. Yeah.
Play,
I don't think that'll – I don't think that's going to do too much to it. I did know about that.
So I'm tough on this one because I think that Houston is a good team. I mean, they came back and roaring back. Hoyer's been way better than fucking Mallett. Thank God that retard is out now. And New England's been struggling, but it's so unlike New England to lose 3 in a row that I have to take New England here, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I can totally agree with you on that.
It's just I don't remember the last time during the regular season that the Patriots lost 3 in a row. And Brady's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
He's
going to
be pissed. So.
I understand
how many,
that.
Yeah, everyone's betting on New England, though. So, you know, we'll see come game time where the spread at is for me. But I'm liking the Patriots for right now at 3.
Okay. Final game, the Monday night game, Giants going to Miami. This is one of my best bets. Love the Dolphins. Giants can't win football games. They just can't do it. What's your take? You got 25 seconds.
I mean, I love my Giants. They're fucking brutal in the fourth quarter. I mean, we could be 10-2. Honestly, I would go with Miami if I wasn't a Giants fan. But I am a Giants fan, so I will be going with my Giants this weekend.
All right. That's the show. Tune in next week.